You remember that for these past few weeks, we've been talking about one thing. Game on. It's time to change our world. The idea was simple, that as we entered into the football season, it was a good opportunity for us to kind of take a look at ourselves and say, you know, am I in the game or am I just in the stands? Am I a spectator or am I really making a difference? And so it gave us an opportunity to ask some of those important questions. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about very specific ways that we can actually get into the game and make a difference. That it's time for some of us to say to the coach, put me in, I'm ready. And we said the way that we say that, the way that we do that, to say to him, put me in, is we pray a simple three-word prayer. What was that prayer? You remember? God, use me. It's simple. God, use me. And when we really start praying that prayer, and we mean it from deep within, we're willing to do the work necessary to be prepared, then God can use us for some wonderful and amazing things. And that's what he does. It really is exciting to see how God can use us. Well, this morning we're going to finish up the series. And we're going to talk about it's time to walk across the room. It's time to walk across the room. And you may ask, how does God want to use me when it comes to walking across the room? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to show you. See this table? This table represents our church. And at this table, there are three chairs. The three chairs represent three groups of people that we have in our church on any given Sunday morning. The first chair, if this represents you, then you have not yet fully committed to Christ. This chair is representing those folks who come because they're learning more about what it means to be a Christian. They want to find out if this thing is for real or not. Haven't yet made a personal commitment to Christ, but they're at the table. They're coming to church to find out how that thing works and what it's all about. This chair represents folks that we might say are kind of in the beginning stages of their walk with the Lord. Maybe you just recently accepted Christ in a personal way. Maybe you were one of those that got baptized in the river not long ago. And you're in the beginning stages. You're learning. You're just starting to grow. There are others in our congregation who fit into this category as well. And maybe you were a believer as a child, and maybe a teenager, and then somewhere along the way you kind of got out of church and that kind of fell out of your routine. And now you're coming back. You're coming back to the church to learn and grow again. And you're really kind of in that same place of being in the beginning stages again. And in this chair represents some of us in the church that have a deep faith and are growing. And notice that there's not a chair for anybody who has grown up completely or who has figured it all out. There's no group like that at a church. This chair represents those who have a deep faith and are growing. This chair represents those folks who are probably involved in the church, in service in some way. They're connected in one of the Sunday school classes or small groups or life group or the Tuesday night Bible studies. They're connected in some way. They're growing. They have their own personal Bible time. They don't wait to be spoon-fed. They feed themselves. And this is our church. Now, if this chair represents you, I want you to know that we are so glad that you're at the table. If you're one of those and you're just still trying to figure this out and you're seeking and you're asking questions and you're not quite ready to make that personal commitment, I want you to know that you're welcome here and we are so glad that you're at the table with us. If you're kind of in those beginning stages, for whatever reason, I want you to know that we're thrilled that you're still at the table, and we want you to be here. We want to actually help you grow. We want to teach you, and we want to disciple you. We want to love with you and serve with you. And so I'm just thrilled that you're here and that you're at the table with us. Those of you who are deepening in your faith, you're growing in your faith, you're serving, I'm so glad that you're here. We need you. And you're an important, vital part of our church family. But when you walked in, you probably saw this table and these chairs, and now you understand what these are. But did you notice the chair over there? There's the chair over there by itself. It's not at the table. This chair represents every person in Northern McLennan, Southern Hill County, who don't have a table to sit at. This chair represents every person in our community who has not made a commitment to Christ and is not a part of a church fellowship. We're at the table. And it's real easy for us to get used to coming to the table on a regular basis. Here we have fellowship with one another. Here we get fed and we enjoy learning and growing together. Here we experience what the Christian life is all about as we share it together. This is a great place to be. But folks, it's real easy for us to enjoy this so much that we forget about them, that we forget about the folks just on the other side of the room. I want to encourage you to think about these folks this morning. You know somebody in this chair. There's somebody in your family who's in this chair. You have coworkers who sit in this chair. Students, I guarantee you there are folks in your class who sit in this chair. This morning, we need to think about the folks in that chair. And what would it take for us to get up from the table, walk across the room, and say, we'd like for you to join us at our table? That all of a sudden doesn't sound that complicated, does it? It really doesn't sound that hard. God wants to use us to get up out of our seats and walk across the room to reach that person. In fact, that was the final command that Jesus gave his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, if you have your copy of Scripture with you, look there with me if you will. Matthew chapter 28 is the first book of the New Testament, the last chapter of the book. And look at the last verses 19 and 20. Jesus says to the disciples, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples. And he's speaking to disciples when he says it. He says, those of you at the table, I want you to go and bring more folks to the table. I want you to go to that chair across the room, to the people who aren't here yet, and I want you to bring them with you. Sometimes we forget that there are people who aren't yet at the table, so Jesus said we're to remember that. In fact, the reason we're to remember those who aren't at the table yet, the reason we're to walk across the room, is because before Jesus told us to walk, he decided to walk. You ever think about that? Before he told us to go, he had already come. He walked before he told us to walk. The only difference is he tells us to walk across the room to the people in our everyday lives. That word for go, it's not really the command, get up and go, as much as it is in the grammar of the Greek. It's more saying, as you are in the process of going, make disciples. Jesus is saying, as you live out your everyday life, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to the bakery, as you're going, make disciples. Invite folks to the table. The amazing thing is, he asks us to cross the room to the people in our very lives, but that is only after he walked a lot farther. You remember Jesus stepped off the throne of glory, took off the glorious robes and put on the mantle of humanity and became a little boy in a feeding trough in a barn. Now that's some walk to make. In your notes there, you'll see that we're going to look at two questions. The first question this morning is, why did Jesus walk from heaven to earth? Why did he make that big walk from heaven to earth? And I want to show you, first of all, he walked to show his love for us. He walked to show his love for us. You see, all of us at the table, every one of us who are at the table, used to be in the chair on the other side of the room. Every one of us used to be over there. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. All of us used to be in the chair by ourselves. But Jesus loves us. He loves you with an everlasting love, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. So Jesus left heaven and he came to earth to show you the way back to God. Jesus left heaven, came to earth to show us that we don't have to be alone. We don't have to be on our own. He showed us, he became the way that we could have relationship with God. In chapter 1, it says it this way, that the word, now the word there is capitalized because John makes it clear in this chapter that he's talking about Jesus. The word, Christ, the Son of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came from heaven to earth for us. Why would he do that? It's simple. The reason that he did that is the verse that you learned before you learned any other verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is because of his love that he came, that he took that walk for us. It's one thing for Jesus to leave heaven and earth and come to earth for a bunch of religious people. It's one thing for Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth for a bunch of people who are trying to do what is right. But the amazing thing is, Jesus chose to love us even when we weren't doing things right, and he chose to make that walk before we could even deserve it. In Romans 5, it says, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus walked from heaven to earth to show his love for us. There was a time that every one of us was sitting in that chair, and in his way, Jesus said, I love you too much to leave you there. I'm going to be the way that you can be a part at the table. The second thing that we noticed this morning is that he walked to show his compassion for us. He walked to show his compassion for us. Why did Jesus come from glory to earth, come from heaven to earth? Well, he did it to show his love for us, and he did it to show his compassion for us. If Jesus had not come from heaven to earth, we not only would never have found our place at God's table, but we would have suffered eternally by being separated from God. Hell is a reality. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in Scripture. And he knew that if he did not make that journey, if he didn't become the way, then we would not only miss out on being at God's table in this life, but we'd be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus told a story about hell, and it is just a parable. However, in the parable, we get a sense of the reality. And in the parable, there's a rich man and a servant named Lazarus. The rich man winds up in hell. Lazarus, the servant, winds up in heaven. At one point, the rich man is under such torment. He says, "Boy, would you just send Lazarus one more time to dip his finger and just let one drop of water touch my tongue just to give me a little bit of relief?" And the answer is, "Lazarus is where he's staying, and you're where you're staying, and it's too late for that." And so the rich man says, "Well, if that's the case, then help me in another way." He said, "Would you at least send someone to tell my brothers?" He calls up to Father Abraham up there, and he says, "Would you send someone to tell my five brothers? Because I don't want them to have to suffer here like I am." And all of a sudden, he had compassion on his brothers, which we assume he probably didn't have a whole lot of that compassion before now. But all of a sudden, he has compassion on his brothers. He says, "Well, I don't want them to have to be here." And the answer is unfortunate for him. It's too late for them. It's too late for you to send that message. That time is gone. The reality of the whole story, the reality of the whole thing, is that Jesus knew that eternity without God is something that none of us want, that he doesn't want for us. Jesus had compassion. He wanted us to find real life here, and he wanted us to find real life after this life. And so when he looked on the crowds, he had compassion. In Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He wanted them to be cared for. He knew they were wandering and they just needed someone to show them the way. He had compassion on them. And then he walked to show his dream for us. He walked to show his love, his compassion, and his dream. You see, God has a dream for us. And part of God's dream is he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants you to find a way to his table. He wants you to say yes to Jesus. God's dream for you, if you're not a follower yet, is that you'll say yes to Jesus, to open your life to him, to find that forgiveness. His dream for those of us at the table is that we would reach out to those in need and bring them to the table as well. I've kind of been dancing all around this verse, but let me show it to you. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said the reason that he came, the reason he walked, was to fulfill his dream for us that we might have life and that it would be full. Not just to save us from the fires of hell, but while we're here on earth, he wants us to have a full, abundant life as well. He wants us to find a place at God's table and to experience that abundant life. And because that's what he wants for us, he did what was necessary to make that happen. He took that walk from heaven to earth. Remember the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the dream of Jesus. And notice and remember our verse that we've been building this whole series on. Jesus said to in the prayer in John 17, he prayed, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. The idea was, just as God sent Jesus to come, now Jesus is sending us to go. And so our first question this morning was, why did Jesus walk from heaven to earth? Our second question is, why should I walk across the room? Jesus prays, as you sent me, now I send them. And so we ask, why should I walk across the room? Why is Jesus sending me? And now look how this works out. I walk because of my love for others. He walked because of his love for me. Now I walk because of my love for others. 1 John 4 says, we love because he loved us first. You know, you don't have the capacity to really love with this kind of love, this kind of sacrificial love, unless you've experienced his love first. We love because he loved us, and now his love is in us, and because we love those around us, we're going to walk across the room to invite them to be a part of the life that Christ brings. Do you love the people in that chair? You love your family member, your friend, your coworker who's sitting in that chair? Jesus loved us enough to come all the way from glory. Surely we can love them enough to walk across the room. Matthew 22 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who do you know that you could invite just to... You don't have to go through the whole theological concept of a table. One easy way to start, who could you invite to church next week? Who in your realm, in your world, your family, friends, and coworkers, who could you love enough to walk across the room and say, man, I wish you'd go to church with me Sunday. We start at 10:15, I'll just meet you there. I walk because of my love for others. Secondly, I walk because of my compassion for others. You remember I told you about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man and Lazarus, where rich man was in hell and he's looking up. He sees Lazarus. Then he thinks of those five brothers. This is the verse I was telling you about out of Luke 16. I beg you, Father, talking to Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my family. I've got brothers, but it's too late. It's too late when you get to that point. It's too late to tell somebody about Jesus when they're not here. It's too late when you're not here anymore. We only have today for sure. We have to make the most of the time we have right now. Did you know that more than 80% of the people who don't go to church, more than 80% of the people who don't go to church say they would go to church if they were invited by a friend or family member. Most would say yes. Over 80% would come if they were invited by a friend or family member. The other thing that I found interesting was that same study that figured that out. That same study went on to describe how only 2% of church members have invited someone to attend the church with them. 80%, more than 80%, will come if we'll just invite them. And for the most part, only 2% of regular church attendees and members have actually invited someone to come to church with them. All we got to do is walk across the room. We have compassion for them. Before it's too late, let's say, God, use me. Let's be a part of that group, that 2%. Let's just shatter that 2% in our church. Because of our love, because of our compassion, but also because of our dream for them. Again, you remember Jesus' dream for us. Thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You really believe that it's in someone's best interest for them to be at God's table? If you really believe it, then are you acting on that? Will anybody be in heaven because of you? Dream for just a minute. What would it look like if everyone in your neighborhood knew Jesus? What would it look like if everyone in your workplace knew Jesus? What would it look like if everyone in your family knew Him? That's God's dream. It's God's dream for you. God wants to use you to reach the people of Northern McLennan, Southern Hill Counties. He wants to use us to reach those who aren't at the table yet. And God hasn't given up on them, and so we don't give up on them either. In 1 Corinthians 13, there's a description of love. In that description, it says love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never quits. We're going to keep on loving them. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Keep loving them. Keep reaching out for them. I'm grateful for the table. I'm grateful for what God's doing in our church. I'm grateful for everyone who sits around that table that represents FBC West. I'm grateful for what He's doing among us, what we're experiencing. Most of what we do here at FBC West is for those who are at the table. But Jesus said sometimes we have to remember that part of our mission is to walk across the room, invite those who aren't at the table to come and join us. In Acts, it says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." It's time to get in the game. It's time for us to say, game on. It's time to change the world. And it begins when we walk across the room. Isn't that a great statement in Acts? My life for me, for my dream, for my attention, for my glory, it doesn't mean anything. My only goal is to finish the race, to do what I've been called to do. And what is that? The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the opportunity to be used by You. We thank You for the privilege of being at the table. And Lord, we ask that You'd help us to be loving, compassionate. Help us to be aware of those who are not yet at the table. Use us to bring them to You. Father, we thank You for this entire series and the opportunity that we've had to kind of look into our relationship with You, to discover ways in which we can be used by You for Your glory. And now, as we come to the end of the series, we say once again, God, use me. And whatever form that takes, we'll be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name.